Our scripture this morning is pretty familiar, a parable from the Gospel according to Luke. I'll be reading, the scripture is chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, but I'm going to go ahead and start with 13 to give some context for the rest of the scripture. I invite you to listen for words that are meaningful for you, or that you believe speak to us as a church that we might share together. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. For on your guard, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." May God bless our hearing and our receiving of this holy scripture. Now, did anything jump out at you this morning? Fairly straightforward. "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones." And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Well, this bumper sticker appeared on the rear of an expensive European sports car. "The one who dies with the most toys wins." I'm sure you've seen or heard this quote or something like it. I suspect you've seen this quote lived out by more than a few in this world. If it's not the most toys, it's the most cars, the most land, the most adventures, or just the most money in the bank. What this quote really tells us is that there can never really be enough. We can never be satisfied with what we already have. That's not the American way, it seems. Well, it wasn't the way of that rich farmer in our parable today either. We don't know much about the man, but apparently he had one of those good years as a farmer, a bumper crop, beyond what he ever anticipated. His crops came in so well that he couldn't fit them in his barns. It just makes sense that he would look for a larger storage facility. So why not build his own? He said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods." You can almost hear that quote again. The one who dies with the most grain stored wins. He's ready to take his victory lap. He's won the game. Oh yes, this was Jesus telling this parable. And it was right in the middle of a larger lesson about readiness for the coming judgment. He warned his disciples to fear or respect God, not humans, not human institutions or even emperors, not even death. Fear and respect God, who can both kill the body and cast body and soul into the fires of hell. Fear and respect God, who cares for the sparrows, who knows what you need, who counts the hairs on your head, those who have some, who loves you, his blessed son or daughter. Fear and respect God. Be ready for the judgment of God, which can come at any moment. This parable illustrates the need for readiness. We read, God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Was this the fruit of the Spirit God was looking for? It appears this rich farmer was ready for retirement. Nothing wrong with that. He was ready for living the good life. He says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods lined up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." He was ready to enjoy winning in the game of life. Now, how many have seen this perspective in our world, or perhaps our community? Now, the immediate occasion for Jesus telling this parable was in response to a request from someone in the crowd of followers. His followers. "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Now, it's funny that Jesus responded with these words, because we already know that it was God who set Jesus as judge and arbitrator over this person, over all people, over all creation. Could it be that God did not set Jesus as judge over wealth and possessions, of who dies with the most toys? Time after time, Jesus' teachings and parables make clear that judgment is coming. God's kingdom is near. And Jesus is already looking for followers, not followers of the present culture of winning, accumulating, basking in wealth and privilege. And Judge Jesus, not Judy, is the one who judges, who sets all people, all nations, all institutions, all of creation into right relationship with God in the present. All who follow Jesus' way, that is. A good Jewish image of this was Adam walking side by side with God in the Garden of Eden. This was the expectation of the early church when Jesus returned. The return to this right relationship with God, Jesus' followers walking with Jesus in the restored garden, the restoration of creation to its original created state in relationship with God. No need for any Armageddon in this relationship. Now, in Jesus' day, there was just beginning to be a growing understanding that eternal life might actually extend beyond the present life. But the main focus remained on right relationship with God during this life on earth. That was Jesus' main focus. And after Jesus' resurrection, the first right relationship with God, the people came to understand that it was the living act of baptism, reenacting the death and resurrection event for each individual, that opened the door to that same right relationship with God in this life. Much of the early church artwork shows images of the Garden of Eden, all reflecting this renewed relationship with God and with creation. So, in our parable, what was the rich farmer's folly? Was it his preoccupation with possessions, much like the materialism so rampant in our society today? Was it his self-sufficiency, not needing anyone else? Not family mentioned, not faithful friends, not a community of faith and support, not even God. Was it pure greed, the continued gathering beyond what he needed with no compassion or thought for others less fortunate? Was it his selfish self-gratification, seeking only his own pleasure to relax, eat, drink, be merry? Or was it the simple lack of God in any of his hopes, dreams, or practices? No gratitude, no sense of greater purpose, no sense of divine guidance or judgment? Jesus asked earlier in the Gospel of Luke, "What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves?" It seems to me that the issue here was not the great abundance of crops. Riches in themselves are no deterrent to the kingdom. Success is not a problem. I believe that God wants every person to successfully use their own gifts and talents for God's purposes. We do God no favors by shyly hiding behind our talents and our passions. Live boldly, church. Take risks. Fail sometimes, but learn from our mistakes so that we can go on to build greater success for Christ's church. Even building bigger barns is not the problem. God has no desire for us to waste any abundance that he has given us. Leaving your God-given gifts or assets, even your will or your estate, to rust or to go to waste isn't God's desire. But what did the rich farmer gather into his barns? Jesus didn't tell us what crops had grown so abundantly. Was it corn? Was it wheat? Was it oil? Was it stocks, bonds, or gold? Was it real estate, industry, banking? Was it sports, gambling, entertainment? Was it love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What did he gather into his barns? Think for a moment. Consider your purse, your checkbook, your credit card statement, your online bank account. What are you gathering? I have my guitars, my books, my shop, our art collection. What do any of these profit me if I lose or forfeit my soul? What do we gather in our barn as a church? We have this beautiful building. We always get comments about that. Our large parking lot, enough land, nice computers, sound system, projector, all handy, a full-time pastor, strong lay leaders for sure, Bruce and James, although Bruce is sick today, serving in our unhoused ministry so well. We have investments, dependable givers, a somewhat healthy economy. We may not have as many in worship as we used to, but how many new church starts or transforming congregations would give everything for this many folks to rally together and build for the future? If we're getting older, then what can more mature Christians do? There is no retirement age from loving and serving God and God's people. How do we continue to grow and maintain our relationship with God as best we can? What are we gathering into our barn? Do we have a bumper crop of love and forgiveness for each other that wraps around every person who enters the door? Do we have a bumper crop of joy? Not the painted-on happy faces either, but real people with real problems and real life issues sharing together, supporting each other, keeping each other looking to God for our true joy. Do we have a bumper crop of hope that sees the challenges of the church and our personal lives, even of our society and our world, as opportunities to bring people together back into redeemed, right relationship with God and with each other? Do we have a bumper crop of peace among us? Shalom, a sense of enough, of wholeness and community, justice and mercy, with God right in the middle of it, giving assurance that there is an overriding purpose, a larger goal, a kingdom reality that will be completed on earth someday, maybe even tomorrow. What are we gathering into our barns as a church and as individuals? Are we gathering up treasures for heavenly eternal purposes, or are we simply gathering up riches on earth where robbers, rust, or moths, or bad economies, or bad politics might eat away at them or us? Is it time for us to tell ourselves, relax, eat, drink, be merry? Jesus keeps reminding us that time is short. Judgment is coming very near. And there is work for the kingdom to be done. We have barns to fill for God. In fact, an entire kingdom to help fill with a bumper crop of fruit of the Spirit. Can you imagine what that barn will be like when it's full? Of course, Jesus is clear that the best crop for God's kingdom is love. Love. The one who dies or lives with the most love wins, right? So that's probably a good place to start in filling our barns. I think we've got a good start in that. So what can we gather and then give away in our neighborhood or our community? Will you pray with me? Strong and loving God, you have given so much to us. You have given so much through your Son Jesus, in his teachings, in his ministry, the role model he set for us of how to live on this earth in right relationship with you. You give us your Holy Spirit. This trinity of love dancing and working together and working through our lives and our world, your love and your grace all around us, within us. We give you thanks for all of that, O God. And help us to open our hearts and our minds and strengthen us in our conviction and our faith to let this Trinity dance of love be a part of our lives, the center of our lives. Let us join that dance of love with you. We pray in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.